On Sunday night, we looked at the word maker, as in, well, in particular, God the maker, our maker, right? A couple of those times it was talking about actually making an idol, a maker of an idol, but the majority of the times the word maker is used in the Bible is God our maker. And we talked about how important it was to recognize God as creator, as the maker of all things. And I honestly believe that our world's in the shape it's in today because people don't recognize God as the creator, right? There was a day where a lot of people, whether saved or lost, did recognize him, right, as God, as the God of the Bible, as the creator, the one who made all things. And, of course, that's just not the case today. And what we find is people who are not really living in such a way that they understand that one day they'll give an account to God. Amen. And so that's the reality of it. So if you recognize God as creator, you recognize that he really knows more than you. He created everything. He knows the ins and outs of everything. And one day you'll give an account to him, and that it will behoove you to find out what your creator wants from you today. Amen. And that's a blessing. Well, tonight we're going to look at how you can let God make you. Amen. Make you what he made you to be. Now, God has given us free will, and we don't have to become what God made us to be. Amen. But it would behoove you to become what your creator made you to be. Amen. And so let's go ahead and look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Going to look at this text of scripture here in reference to what it means, or how can we make sure it's God that is making you. Did you ever hear someone say, I am a self-made man? Right? Well, that's one way to go about it. Amen. Then you have some governments that say that you didn't do it. We did that for you, right? We made you. We're the ones that made you. And so because of that, you should, you know, be thankful that we're robbing from you all that we do, because we've made you what you are. And then, I mean, on and on and on. You have all these different people that think that they know what it means, what it takes to make somebody something, or a lot of people are trying to make people what they want them to be. Amen? And so the reality is that we don't want to be made by somebody else. We shouldn't want to be made by ourselves. We definitely shouldn't want to be made by the government. Nor any other entity or high-tech business, amen, making us something. We should want to be made who we are by God. And Paul would speak to that as well. But here with Peter in 1 Peter 5, listen to this. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're going to look at this passage. We're going to see the pattern that it displays. And that last verse, well, the second to last verse, verse number 10, talks about how as this is actually played out and worked out in your life, that it's he that will make you these four things, which ultimately will become your life. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to meet together tonight. I pray you'd instruct us. I pray you'd help us. I pray that you would encourage us through your word. And I pray, God, that we would be strengthened by might in the inner man, because we took time out of our evening to come to fellowship among the saints, to sing great songs, Lord. Thank you for those that are leading and playing and everyone that's able to sing, Lord. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the wonderful times we've had already, Lord, in the scripture that's already been read. But God, please, Lord, take and use the scriptures now that you might administer them to each of our hearts and lives. I know we're all, in a sense, at a little bit different spot, but yet in some ways the same. But God, you know exactly where we're at and what we need tonight. Please supply that, we pray, by thy Holy Spirit, through thy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a beautiful portion of Scripture, one that I'm sure many of you are somewhat acquainted with. Now, it's addressed to ye younger. Now, that's in contrast to the first four verses, which was to the elders that were among them. And so here we find ye younger. And it's talking about being younger, more particularly youthful in reference to being matured in things. And can I say, there might be some of us that are elder in some things, maybe more some more than others, maybe some less than others, but we all find ourselves younger in some areas as well, meaning that we all have room to grow. Nobody has arrived. It doesn't matter really who you are. You're still on this side of eternity, amen? And we all have room to grow. We're going to continue to grow. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and none of us have arrived there yet, amen? And until we are perfectly in line with Christ in righteousness, then we're not there, amen? And so we're all younger in some areas. Some areas you're stronger in, some areas you're weaker in, some areas you've been exercised in, some areas you will be but haven't been exercised yet. And so this this passage addressing ye younger really does apply to us all. Really, no matter where we're at, spiritually speaking, we're all younger in some ways. And this text says, it says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And that submit there is referring to being ordered under in reference to authority, being subject to others based on where they're at as an elder. Now, what's interesting is that there are things that as your pastor, I can learn from a little child. Amen? There's things that I can learn from those that are older than me, the younger than me, all over the map. I can even learn things from women. Believe that or not. So I didn't know a guy would ever admit that. This one will. And I'm fine with it. Amen? If you have something to teach, I have no problem listening to you teach it. Amen? I'm happy for that because I recognize I have a lot to learn. Amen? And so we recognize these things. We recognize where different people are at. And we don't just across the board say, that person has nothing they can do to help me or I'll never be under them. Now, if you ever worked a job out there in the secular world, you realize that you better be careful and how you treat people because that person might be your boss next week. Amen? And that happens more time than not. And it doesn't matter their age, right? And so when I became a lead at ATA, I was the youngest person on our crew. Who would have thought? Amen? And so you just never know who you might find yourself arranged under. But in a spiritual sense, we should be happy to be arranged under somebody else that has been taught something by God. Amen? That has been learned by God. We should be happy to be ordered under them. Amen? For the respective mission at hand. And so it says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Do you realize it's always fun to look at passages and everybody always likes to pull out those passages like in Ephesians 5 that talks about the wife submitting under her husband. Forget the fact that a couple verses earlier said that they're supposed to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God, amen? And so even in a marriage scenario, there is a time for a husband even to be submitted unto that wife in certain things. Say, what? It's in there. Just trying to be true to Scripture. There are some things that your wife has as a mission. And you're not leading that mission. She is. So you can come unto her and help her in that mission. That is submitting yourselves under her in that mission. Amen. Some of you are scratching your heads. You can look up that later. Amen. I know it hurts. I know things like that hurt. Amen. But it's just scriptural. Amen. And so even in a church context here, it says submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so, being subject one to another and to be clothed with humility. And the reason we're going to be clothed with humility there is it takes humility to submit yourself unto another. It takes humility to find yourself ordered and arranged under another, under another person. It just does. And it's difficult, right? Because we want to be the ones in charge. We want to be the ones at the top. We don't want to be under somebody else taking orders. But you'll find that those that rise in leadership the fastest are the ones that don't mind being submitted under somebody else. I'd rather be second any day of the week. I don't want to be the guy in charge. I don't want to be that first person. That's my testimony. I really have never really wanted to be the pastor, the leader, the supervisor, whatever. I've never really wanted to be that. These positions found me just because I'm willing not to be. The guy that wants to always be in charge is the one you really don't want in charge. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be under that guy, right? And so the point is, we need to learn first how to be a servant before we'll ever be a good leader, right? Because true leadership is all about being a servant. That's what Christ taught us, that the greatest among you shall be least. Amen? And that's a good lesson to learn, and it's going to take humility. And so we see, just going through this text a little bit, laying some groundwork here. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, that word for there is going to assign reason. It's the word gar, and it means, you find that word, it always assigns a reason for what was just given. And it says, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, resisteth, if you know anything about electronics, a resistor in an electrical circuit actually causes a kind of holds back some power. It kind of chews it up in a sense. It uses it. And so electrical circuits need resistors, resistance, need some pushback, if you will, on the circuit. And with pushback comes heat. And with heat comes a dissipation of that energy, that power. And so a resistor in a circuit, for whatever reason, there's certain reasons you do that. You might want to change the volt signal. You might want to change the amperage signal. But you want to change something for that downline load. But a resistor hinders things. And the Bible here says in this text, it says we want to make sure we are submitted unto the people in our lives that we're to submit to and be clothed with humility, because it is God that resisteth the proud. And so if we find ourselves proud, then we will have God pushing back against us. Now, there's a lot of people in life I wouldn't mind if they pushed back against me. Amen? But I'll tell you the one person I would mind pushing back against me, and that's God. If God is resisting me, I'm in trouble. If I'm trying to move forward or move the way I think I should be moving, and God is holding me back, I'm not going anywhere. Because God is resisting me. God resists the proud. And by the way, only by pride cometh contention, right? And so the proud in heart think that they are the one that's important, that they're the one that has to be, you know, in charge, or they're the one that has to lead this, or they're the ones that has to be teaching, or they're the ones all. And I'm not saying in reference to responsibility, we all have responsibilities, that's fine. But we want to be careful not to be filled with pride in our positions and in our responsibility and in sight of God. Amen? Because God does resist the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Now, grace is God's power to us. It's God's divine influence upon our heart. It's his favor. It's power. Power to the believer means I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So, you have this shows I can either do all things through Christ by his power, or God will resist me. Amen? And it's all based on ye younger. We need to recognize where we're at spiritually and recognize where we're not strong in. We need to recognize where we're young. Amen? Where we lack. We need to recognize this and recognize around us who is more exercised in these areas, who's more mature. And it says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for this reason, because we need God's power in our lives to do what God has called us to do, what God has created us to do. We will never accomplish God's purpose and will for our lives in our own strength. By the way, as a parent, that is a God-ordained position, that you'll never be a good parent in your own strength. You'll need to be empowered by God to do what the world hasn't figured out how to do, how to raise a godly seed. Amen? Well, if you're going to raise godly children, it's going to be by God's help. Can I say, in a marriage scenario, you'll never be a good spouse on your own. You'll never be a good spouse in your own strength. You're going to need the supernatural power of God to do that. Can I say in the workplace, you'll never be a real good worker for the cause of Christ, for God himself, and even really for those you're under, unless you can operate supernaturally in the power of God and not just in your own strength. You'll never really be that one. You'll never rise above the norm of the world unless you operate with the power of God in the workplace. This is true in everything. As a friend, you'll never be a good friend if all you're doing is operating in your own strength, right? You'll never be a good Sunday school teacher, right? Or a teacher in general, one who disciples or leads people to Christ or preaches from a pulpit. We'll never be able to do these roles well in our own strength. So if I'm full of pride, I know you have all have mixed thoughts on the guy named Pastor Hiles, amen. Dr. Hiles up there, you know, up north, he's since passed. But he preached a message in the flesh. And I listened to that message early on, and it really affected me. I was a Sunday school teacher then, and he said that he made this statement in that message, and he said, if the devil can't just outright get you to live sinful in the flesh, what he'll move to do is get you to operate in some Christian environment by the strength of your flesh and not operate in the spirit. And he went in and talked about how a Sunday school teacher who is operating based on their own abilities and not relying on God and all these things, how that person is absolutely setting himself up to fail, to fall, because he's operating in the flesh. And the Bible says that the flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing good that we can accomplish in the flesh. And so we need to learn to operate by the Spirit. And this passage is showing us here the key to it. And it's being willing to be ordered under people in our life that God puts us around. Amen? And can I say, even in a church context, in a membership context, we should all be submitted one to another in the fear of God. Amen? There's a communal yielding one to another, right? How else do we edify one another if we're not able to, by love, serve one another, right? It's finding out where God is leading other people and trying to be a help to them, trying to encourage them. And I'm glad that many in our church do that, but this passage is saying that. Learning to, by love, serve one another. Amen? And that this is what it's going to take. Is yielding one to another, submitting one to another, being willing to listen one to another, to help one another, amen, and not be proudful. Because if we find ourselves in pride, operating in pride, well, then God resists us. And if God is resisting us, we're in trouble, amen? So God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble, it says. Now, verse number 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, watch this, in due time. God always seems to put that at the end of things, amen? Like the patient aspect of things. And so what we're going to do in life is we're going to humble ourselves. Not a self-humility type things, you know, woe is me, I'm nothing, I'm that. No. Just a realization of who I am. And in the grand scheme of things and in God's sight, I'm nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing to offer God. I am nothing, amen, apart, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, amen. And every position I have, every possession I have, everything that I have, every connection, every friend, every anything, amen, it's all to God's glory, and it's not my own doing. It is God's, amen. And so recognizing these things in our own selves is that humility aspect. We recognize that we are under the mighty hand of God in all things. I never want to find myself in mentality or in mind above God. I never want to be ordered in my own mind above God. I'm always below God. I am never above Him. Amen. And that's what this text, that's what this passage is referring to. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So you have to ask yourself a question. What does it look like when God exalts somebody? What does it look like when God actually raises somebody up in life? And that's what this passage talks about. And this is what you and I as believers, this is what we should desire, not to be self-exalted, but to be God-exalted. And the key to being exalted by God is humility. It's humility and being ordered under those in our life that God says we should be ordered under. Now, with this in mind, look at verse number 7. Because it does say in due time, meaning there might be some time frame here. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, in this time frame that it will take for you to be exalted, it might take a lifetime. There will be a lot of things that happen in our lives that we don't like and that we are uncomfortable with and that we wish would be changed. But we keep going back to God. We're under Him. We're ordered under Him. And so we just trust Him. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge Him, right? And it says that then He will direct our paths. And that's the Christian life. It's being ordered under God. It's not my life becoming what I want it to be. No. That would be self-exaltation. That would be me becoming a self-made man. No, I don't want that. I want to be what God wants me to be. And so I'm going to arrange my life under Him and everything. And under anybody else He wants to put over me, I'm willing to be arranged under them as well. You see, because that's how God is going to teach me. That's how God is going to direct me. That's how God is going to make me who I need to be. The people you have found yourself arranged under have affected your life. I guarantee you, everyone in this room has been under certain people that have greatly affected you in a powerful way because you arranged yourself under their leadership, under their care or something. Everyone, might be a parent, might be someone in the workplace, might be someone in the military, might be someone in the church. But every one of us has those people that we've been arranged under that have greatly affected our lives. And then there's others that we chose not to be arranged under. And those people didn't affect our lives. And maybe in some ways we don't want to be under some people because God doesn't want us to be under them, right? But just knowing that this principle of God, of who we allow ourselves to be under, greatly affects us. And this is how God makes us. He makes us through leadership structure. He makes us through the authority process. This is how God works on us to bring about in us what God would have us to be. By the way, you just coming to church, You're sitting under the preaching of God's word. You've arranged yourself under the preaching of God's word. That doesn't mean you're listening. Amen. There's a lot of people that come to church, no doubt. Well, hopefully, a lot of people that come listen. But then there'll be some that don't. They never hear a message. They're not really arranged. They're there, but they're for some other reason, and they're not arranged. But if you're here and you've decided, God, what you want to give to me, I'm listening. And I'm willing for you to teach me something through the preaching of God's word. And I'm letting the Holy Spirit take that message and deal with me. I'm looking for you to do something in my life. I'm yielded to you, God. If that's you, you're getting something from preaching. You're getting something from messages. God is using that to mold you. But there's a lot of people out there that will not listen to preaching. They will not yield themselves into an environment like this to be preached at. Amen. But the Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching that we're saved, we're delivered, that we're helped. This is how God has ordained for it to take place. And so those people we cut, listen, if you cut somebody out of your life that God meant for you to be ordered under, you're in trouble. Well, I'll get that somewhere else. Really? Is that how it works in God's economy? You reject who God told you to be under, and God says, oh, that's okay. I'll give you that under so-and-so. No. That is not how it works. Would that be okay for your kids? Mom and dad, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I'm going to find me a new parent. Is that how it works? No. No. There are things that kids can only learn from their parents. Amen. Does that make sense? That's why our Sunday school classes and all that, we've taught our leaders over and over and over again that we don't replace parents. We're not there to replace a parent. No, we're there to help. We're going to point those kids in the right direction, but hopefully we're supplementing what they're already learning. And sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes there's some weird situations, and I get it. Amen? I'm just giving the kind of the general rule of things, that God has people around us that we need to recognize as they're from God and yield. Why? Because this is how God makes us. This is how God makes us. Amen? Now, with this in mind, it's a struggle. Casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8, watch this. Some things that we must be to maintain this process. Be sober, right? Be sober means that we're going to stay in a mindset that is not intoxicated, in a sense. We're going to stay real. We're going to stay sober-minded. We're going to stay engaged. We're not going to allow other things to kind of run rampant in our minds. We're here for a reason. We have a purpose, right? And we want to be what God wants us to be. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. We need to be aware that we're on enemy territory. We need to be aware of the fact that we have an enemy that wants to devour us, right? We have three enemies, ourself, right? The world, the devil. But this is dealing with the one enemy, the devil. And he says in this text, he says, beware, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now it says may, he needs permission, right? And we know that if God is resisting the proud, but giving grace to the humble, and we know by scripture there's oftentimes a hedge put about God's people so that the devil cannot hinder the work that they're doing for God at that time, we also recognize that while God is not the author of evil, we also know that he does allow the enemy at times to tempt and to do things in our lives that we need. We need our faith proved there, something done. And so God does allow the enemy, right? And so we know that the enemy, though, he always has ill intent in mind. And so the devil wants to devour you. We know that by scripture. God's revealed that to us. The devil wants to devour all of us. And we are living in this realm of the earth, which is, we are, in a sense, the earth right now is kind of under great control of the prince and power of the air. There's a devilish agenda going on in our world, right? And we know that. We look around, we see it all around, but I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is my home. Here, I'm on enemy territory. I know I'm an ambassador here, right? An ambassador lives in a foreign land to represent their king from a different land or their leader, right? Or their country. And so we, as ambassadors, we currently, this is not our home. We're here by assignment by God to be a testimony and a witness to the world around us. And we're supposed to try to help other people come to know Christ and then help them along their way, amen, while we are here for this time. But know this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And because of that, we're supposed to take on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? He wants to destroy you. And the Bible warns us not to give him advantage. We give the devil advantage in our lives when we're proud, when we sin, when we're offended, when we're bitter, all these things. We give the enemy advantage in our lives. And we ultimately will give away ground that he'll set up in our soul to fire at us. Now, God's given us a great thing called the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil, the wicked. But you have to realize that we're being shot at. We are being shot at continually. We are on enemy soil. And if we are going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to have to be fortified from these things. We can't have God resisting us. We need to operate in his strength, yielded to and submitted to those authorities in our lives, those elders in our lives that can be a help to us at any given point. And every one of us needs to be submitted to certain things and certain people so that we can be helped and made as God would have us to be helped and made. And we never get to that place that we're without that structure. And so this is God ordained. And so be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, he is looking to devour us. And it says that we're to resist steadfast in the faith. Resist steadfast in the faith. We're going to resist by the knowledge of God. We're going to resist by the word of God. We're going to resist the devil, right? As we serve God. We don't want to be resisted by God. We're going to operate in his grace and resist the devil. But if we're proud or arrogant, or we refuse to yield to those that God has put us under for purpose, then what happens? That role gets switched. And the devil now can come in and work in our lives in very destructive means. And all the while the devil's doing that, God's resisting us. That's a bad, bad scenario right there, amen? And you'll never become, you'll be stuck in the mud. You will go nowhere. You'll be taken from, robbed from, pillaged from spiritually. You will go nowhere in that environment until that first part gets resolved and being willing to recognize that there is a posture that you need to live of humility concerning the people that God has placed around you. And sometimes those people are people we don't want to be yielded to. We don't mesh well with them potentially from a personality frame of mind. But not everybody we're ordered under are we called to be friends to. We can be friendly to them, but may not be close friends to. But if there's something there that God wants you to learn from them, then you need to be yielded for the ministry's sake and for God's sake. Because remember, God's trying to make you something. Amen? And training isn't always enjoyable. Amen? Every one of us has been through some training. Anybody here just love the 13 years of school they spent? Well, if you went that long, maybe you didn't go that long, right? You just loved it, glad you were there. Loved going through all your schoolwork and book work and doing reports. And no, we didn't like that. But it taught you something. It taught, hopefully, discipline. Hopefully it taught that if I don't do this, I'm in trouble. Amen? And I don't really know why I'm learning geometry right now, but it's just what I've been given to learn. I'm just going to do it. I don't know why I have to read this book. But I'm just going to read it. And I'm going to get a book report done. And then you get out of that and you say, I'm done learning. And then you get a job. And the first thing I'm going to do is put you through training. Or maybe you went to some other school. I went through 13 months of training before I got hired on out. So I had 13 months of, my school was 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I worked a job on top of that. So that's what I did. Amen. And 8 hours a day in school, And some of that was class time, 8 hours a day in the classroom. And you're like ready to just beat your head against the wall, amen? But all those things are doing something to you. And it's not just the book work. It's It's building a discipline. I'm sure in the military, the ones that have been in the military could say, the last stuff they went through was to build character. It wasn't just to teach you some skill. It was to teach you how not to whine. It was to teach you how to say yes, sir, and no to yourself. Maybe yes, ma'am. Amen. It was there to teach you something. And this day we live today, no one wants to hear all that. We just let the whatever, just do what it, hogwash, amen. They need to learn something, amen. That's what life is all about. It's about us being learned. It's about us being taught something. Some of the people that made the biggest impact in my life at work were the ones that didn't always agree with me and had some very, very harsh things to say about me and to me. And I needed to hear them. I was kind of an arrogant young man, and I needed to be put back in my place at times. Amen? I just did. I probably still do to this day. So the point is that this is what life is like as a Christian who is interested in God making you. And that's the question. Are you making you? Are you becoming who you want to be? Or are you yielding to the teachers in your life so it's God that's making you? That's a question you have to ask. And the way that process works is because I yield and submit to those in my life that God has put there for a reason. I don't always like what they say. I don't always like how they say it. But I know God put them there. Immature Christians, that's why it says ye younger, are prone to getting upset when that leader says something they don't like or disagree with. People say, well, I just don't think. Okay, but you're in training. When I remember from being in training, I didn't really have a right to just step up to the front of the class and say, I don't like what you just taught. I don't remember that opportunity. Amen? I believe I just needed to be in submission there. And if I had questions, there was a right way to ask and a right posture to ask it. But at the end of the day, they're the teacher, I'm the student. I just need to learn how to live in that environment and learn what I can learn while I'm there. That's really the whole scheme of a Christian life, is learning this process. I have not arrived. You have not arrived. We are all still in class. We are all still in training. Nothing that we're involved in are we experts at. Some things you might know a little better than other things, and some things you can teach others some things, but at the same time, while you're teaching, I guarantee you there's those around you that you can learn something from. And it's maintaining that posture of being submitted one to another as God leads, so that I don't find myself in a place as I reject those that God put in my life, and then before I know it, the enemy's hot on my trail. I can't even protect myself against the enemy because God now is resisting me, you see. And what a mess that becomes. And so in our text, quickly, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is the same process for all of us. Verse number 10, the word but here, it's not like a but as in contrast to, or you have this, but then there's this. No, this is a continuation here. It's growing here. It's a moreover. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Do you realize that the pathway of growth for the Christian is through suffering? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, which means we're prone not to. We have an aversion to pain. We don't want the pain. We don't want the struggle. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to be put in a place or a position that we don't like, and so we resist it. Maybe in doing so, you're really just resisting God. Amen? It's one of the things I did learn when working a secular job was that there's a whole lot of times that I was miserable. Amen? You're working on an airplane and it's the worst temperature was about between 35 and 40 degrees and it's misty rain and you're out there for, man, 8, 10, 12, 16, 20 hours coming in for breaks here and there, you're freezing. And you got a plane that needs to fly and you're maybe changing an engine or changing a flight control or rigging something outside, which was horrible. And you just have to tell yourself, it's okay. You got a job to do, get it done. I remember laying on the floor of an airplane when I was up in Chicago. It's like negative 35 or 40. We were working on this airplane, no heat, no nothing. Feet were freezing. I was literally shaking on the floor of an airplane, and I was like, I'm an idiot. What am I doing here? Then you're like, just shut up and get out there and get to work. Let's finish this job. But you're just hurting. It's so cold, you're hurting. You don't want to be in that environment. Can I say, there's a lot of times in the Christian life that I've felt that way. And God says, yep, right on target. You just got to go through this because I'm teaching you something. This is what the Christian life is all about, is learning to submit ourselves to those things. Learning to submit ourselves to situations and to people and things that cause us pain. And if we refuse to submit to that pain, it just prolongs the pain. And we'll have to go through it somewhere else, you see. And that's what we see here. It says, but the God of all grace, God has all power. He says, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. That's what it says. So I don't like that. Well, you're not going to be who God wants you to be, and this is continual, until you've done some suffering. Because our flesh doesn't like it, and because of that, we rise up in pride and we reject it. And God says, don't do that. You yield to it. You accept it. Why? Look at the latter part of verse number 10. After that, you have suffered a while. Watch this. Make you, God's making you. What's that first word? Perfect. The word perfect means to be complete, thoroughly. It also has the idea of being repaired, fit and to the frame, to be mended. This is how God works on our lives. When something's broken, it needs brought back to a perfect or functional condition. And in our lives, when we've been broken, the process to bring us back to a fit function is going to be painful. But it's all right. As long as God's the one administering this process, I can trust Him. And I'm willing to endure the pain. Then it says, establish. Establish means to turn resolute. It means to provide a certain direction, to confirm. Man, it's through the hard times of life that God will actually bring us to a fixed point based on His word. Whereas we could say like Paul, but I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that He, God, Christ, is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I am persuaded. You talk to someone and say, you know what? I don't even know what God's will is, but I'm doing this. You say, that person's in trouble. Because they're running and operating in a way that man, they're without direction. And what that means is this, pain for a believer, pain is coming. And they ain't gonna like it. Amen? But it has to happen. Has to happen. Because it's in that time that they're gonna realize that they can only make a mess of their life. And they're gonna need to turn to Christ and let Christ, through that pain, strengthen them, perfect them. Strengthen them, and what's that next word? Establish, strengthen, and then settle you. Amen. Settle you. Settle means to firm the base of. It means to make a firm foundation. To settle you means to actually bind you to a fixed point. And we need settled at times because we're all over the map. And we're okay with this, okay with that. We're running here, we're running there, and we're tossed to and fro. We're not settled. But God wants to make you. He wants to make you perfect. He wants to perfect you. He wants to, that doesn't mean that we're completely without sin, but this is in areas of our life. He wants to perfect areas of your life. And you may not keep that. You may lose that at some point again. He has to come back and recorrect. That's fine. Amen. But he wants to perfect. He wants to establish you. He wants to strengthen you by his grace and through his knowledge and by experience and by his power. And then he wants to settle you. And all of this is going to happen based on this text by us being ordered under the right people in our lives. You know what most people seek to be ordered under in the day we live? Those that tickle the ear. Tell me what I want to hear so I feel good about myself. Yeah, that works for about 5 minutes. Then I have real problems and my life's a mess. And that person that's tickling my ear can't do anything to help me. But the person that God is trying to ordain you or order you under, they can help. Isn't that amazing? And this is how life works. And as a Christian, we need to recognize this so that we find ourselves ordered under the right people. And it's okay. We may still be under some pain. At the end of the day, God is making you. He's making you into somebody that he can use for his glory. And that's a wonderful place to be in. Amen? Amen.